wait till the kids go this morning. I want to talk about something that in the papers this week that was very disturbing, but I wait till the children were going because it's something that's not very pleasant. But many of us would have read in the papers of something that happened back in 2005 on Father's Day. And there was something that happened on Friday with a court ruling that was made, a judge made a decision. And I think many of us would have been very disturbed and shocked when we heard initially heard reports 5 years ago of a father, that very sad situation where Robert Farquharson, I can't say his name properly, you probably can say better than me if you heard it on the radio, on the news, 41-year-old father who gets his children on Father's Day, and he gets his children and packs them in there. The kids are excited. They're with Daddy on Father's Day. They get in the car. He drives off into a dam, and into the dam, into the water. He jumps out, goes to the bank, and the children are in there. Someone else tries to come and tries to save them, and is there, and little Jay 10, Tyler 7, little Bailey 2 end up drowning. And this man was just sentenced on Friday, just gone, for 33 years, non-parole period, life sentence, 33 years, non-parole period, which literally means he probably will only have 33 years in jail. But it's such a horrible and a horrific thing. You think about it, what would drive a father who has three little boys, and that one day he turns around and he kills his own children. He lies about it, covers up, and the whole thing. You would have followed it in the news. What a tragic, horrible, horrific, shocking thing that is. Not an exactly very uplifting thing to share with you this morning. But I want to share with you because I want to talk about things that are very important this morning and how we've got to be very, very careful. Because I'm sure that he never, when those kids were little kids, he never intended to actually to do that. But something happened between him and his wife, and the circumstances between him and his wife ended up with him and his wife tensions and conflict, and then being separated, being estranged, separated from his wife. And then ultimately out of that his own hatred for his wife grew stronger than the love for his children. He hated his wife more than he loved his own children, and took their lives. What a horrific situation that is. And I want to talk about relationships this morning, how important they are, and how we've got to be very careful that we don't let the devil have any room for the devil to get into relationships. We've got to guard, and there's so many things in the scripture about that. But first thing I want to say this morning is that we know that as Christians that we have an enemy. There is an enemy out there. We know that we stand in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is an enemy out there. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the devil's job is, and he does it well. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he'll come and he'll try to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll oppose us in many ways. He can't oppose God. Can't hurt God. Can't harm God in any way. Not even in the same league as God. So he will focus his attention and try to attack us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So he's on the case. He's looking around. He's looking for entry points. He's looking for a place where he can get in there and he can begin to steal and to kill and destroy, begin to try to devour. And so he is on the prowl, looking around for opportunities that he might come in and begin to cause havoc and destruction in people's lives. And that's exactly what he does. And certainly, well, I'm sure that's what's happened with that man. And I'll talk about a chain that we've got to be very careful to avoid. You have a look in Genesis chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole story in Genesis chapter 4, but this is the story of Cain and Abel. Now, I'm sure that we're all familiar with the story of Cain and Abel. If you went to Sunday school at some time, or Grow Kids at some time, you would know the story of Cain and Abel. You know the story of two brothers. You know the story that Cain was one, he was a shepherd, and he looking after the sheep. You had Abel was the one that, Abel was the one with the sheep, I'm sorry. Cain was the one that worked the soil. He was the farmer. And so you've got Cain and Abel. Abel was the shepherd man. Cain was the farmer. And what they wanted to do is to bring something to God, bring an offering to God. So Abel comes along and he brings an offering to God. We've just taken up an offering to God. We just did that. We just took up our offering, our tithes and offerings. He wants to bring an offering to God. And so what does he do? What does Abel bring to God? He doesn't just pick out any old sheep that he's finding, any old leftover sheep. Oh, there's a dead sheep there, leftover sheep. I'll give that to God. It says what he brings to God is actually finds a choice little lamb, choice lamb. And what he offers to God is the choice part, the fat portions. He gives the best of the very best that he has. He offers that unto God. He brings the best to God. Now, there's a difference. Then you've got Cain, who was a farmer, and he brings and he gets on and he just brings, picks out, okay, what have I got? And all these ones are a little bit starting to go off here or whatever. I don't really need it, this leftovers. I'll bring this and I'll give this to God. And so he brings this offering to God. The difference is one was the best, the very best that they had gave to God. One just gave any old thing to God. And maybe, I don't know what he's motivated. Maybe he saw his brother. Maybe he saw Abel giving his offering. So maybe I should find something. What am I doing? I don't want to feel left out. I don't know. I don't know that he's hard. He might have a sincere heart. But the difference is that God looked on with Abel's, with favor, because he'd given God his very best. And Cain just gave him any old thing and said, well, that's good enough for him. And God was not happy with him. It tells us in Genesis chapter 4, it says verse 5, Cain, into verse 4, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. He was angry and depressed. Something happens to people when the devil starts getting in. They start feeling angry and depressed. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And so this is image, this warning that God says. He said, look, if you do the right thing, fine. But if you don't, sin is crouching at the door. Now, if you look in Scripture, you'll see that there's a couple of doors it talks about in Scripture. I'm talking about shutting the door. I want to make sure you shut the right door today when I talk about shutting the door. It talks about Revelation 3:20 when Jesus is talking to the church of Laodicea. There's the church and there's a picture of Jesus outside of the church knocking on the door and says, behold, woohoo, I'm knocking on the door of any man. Hears my voice. I'll come in and I'll sup with him and I'll be with him. Just open the door. You got Jesus on the outside. And so you've got a picture here. So here we are in the middle. And you've got a door there where the Lord's there. But you've got a door here where sin is crouching at the door. And when something is crouching, you've got an animal, a cheetah, a lion, or whatever it is, that is, it's ready to spring. It's crouching. It's in that position, ready to go. It's going to go. And so there's a door there, which one is just, you open this door and sin is crouching at the door, going to come in. And there's another door. I want to talk today about making sure we've got the right door shut and the right door open. That you have the door to the Lord open, that the Lord is in your life and the things of God are number one and priority in your life. And you keep the door to sin and his way, the devil's ways, to keep that door shut. The sad thing is I see Christians that, oh, hi, Jesus, boom, shut the door there, and that door is shut, and then they open this door in, and there's a flood of destruction and the thief coming in, and they wonder what is going on. Well, you've got to shut that door, open the door, and let the Lord in. I want to talk about shutting this door, because I see a lot of destruction where people leave this door open, and sin is crouching at the door ready to come in and to wreak havoc and to bring destruction. It's an interesting story. You go on there in this story. It says that Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out in the field. And why were they in the field? Cain attacked his brother Abel and he killed him. So God warned him and said, there's a door, just be careful. You open that door and there's going to be a consequence. You open that door and sin is ready to come. You've got to master that. You've got to keep the door shut. God himself warned him. God's warning wasn't enough for him. God himself warned him personally, said to him, don't open that door. But what does he do? He opens that door. Sin comes in and it ends up in the death of Abel. Cain murders him. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, killed him. The Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? And just the arrogance towards God here. He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Who's he saying that to? To God. It's arrogance towards God. When sin begins to come in, you become indifferent to God, talks to God. Well, I don't know, to God. Who's he talking to? He's lost all sense of perspective. He's lost all sense of reality. He's even been rude and arrogant to the living God who's talking to him personally. The Lord says in verse 10, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Because there was no hiding, because there was blood that had been shed, and that blood itself cried out unto God. And remember, the scripture tells us, though, that the blood of Christ, which cries out even louder, the love and what God has for us. But the blood of Abel was crying out to him. And so God warned him and said, don't open the door. But his heart was hard. He opened the door. Sin was crouched, poised, comes in, grabs a hold of him, kills his own brother. He left that door open. And I just want to talk because very easy. I see people that will open this door. And once you've opened this door, this stuff is so much going on, you end up just pushing this door closed. Thank you very much. And people wonder, why is there so much turmoil? Why is there so much fighting? Why is there always arguing? Why is there bartering, devouring? Why is there so much destruction? It's because you opened the door and the door is open. As long as that door is open, you will struggle in your lives and situations. And particularly the area where the devil comes in is in this area of relationships. I want to talk about that for the moment, because where the devil is waging war, he wages war on relationships. That is where the devil will fight. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to bring destruction in the area of relationships. And you'll notice that you've got two brothers, two blood and flesh brothers, and he goes and he just, hiya, brother, kills him. I don't know how he killed him. Did he pick up a rock and smash his head in? I don't know how he killed him. Did he kick him to death? Who knows how he killed him? But two brothers, flesh and blood brothers, and he allowed things into his heart that he killed his own brother, that relationship. And that's where the devil will come in. His war, war is against relationships. That's where he wants to kill, where he wants to steal, where he wants to destroy. It's in the area of relationships. That is where the war is. Why is he fighting against relationships? Because God is the God of relationships. Remember, the devil stands diametrically opposed to everything of God. God is the God of love. God is the God of relationship. The whole Bible, the whole story of the Bible is everything. It's about the relationship between man and God. It's about the relationship in the garden. It's about the fall. It's about the restorationship of the relationship that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ that we've just remembered around communion. It's about God who created us in the beginning for relationships, and his heart is that we would always walk with him in relationship. It's all about relationship. And the devil hates everything of God. He is directly opposed to it. And so he's, number one, he's opposed for people coming into relationship with God. He doesn't want people to have relationship with God. He doesn't want to see your kids going to heaven. He doesn't want to see your parents, your grandparents, your neighbors, your friends, your workmates. He'll do anything to stop them getting into heaven and having a relationship with God. He'll even try to blind your eyes, make you indifferent, make you too busy, make you too overwhelmed in your own stuff. How could I ever reach out? Because he stands opposed to that. He opposes people coming into relationship with God. But also, he will stand in opposition to people being in relationship with one another. He stands diametrically opposed to that. He hates strong marriages. He hates husband and wives being in unity together. He hates parents and children that are following and serving God together. He hates that. He hates believers that are united and standing together as that word came about us being knitted together. He hates that. And he will do whatever he can to try to get in there and bring destruction, destroy your marriage, destroy your relationship with your parents or with your children, destroy relationship with one another. He stands directly opposed to that. He is a war, raging war on that whole area of relationships. And so we've got to be very, very careful. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 10 to 11, it says, this Apostle Paul speaking, says, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. What I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan may not outwit us. For we are not aware of his schemes. We're not unaware. We're not stupid. We're not ignorant of how the devil tries to work, that he is directly opposed against relationships, that he will try to cause destruction and havoc in there. So it says, It's the context of this is forgiveness. It's the context of this is relationship. His scheme is to come and to bring destruction. And the thing that we people don't understand is that when they have fractures in relationships and when they don't actually deal with stuff between one another, they open up the door and the devil actually comes flooding in. I'll talk a little bit more about that because people think, oh, it's just between you and me. No, it's not. You just opened the door to a whole lot of stuff and you wonder now why you got problems. Well, that's why you got problems. And so we've got to be so, so very careful. 1 John 3:12a, 1 John 3:12 and also verse 15, it says, don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in them. In fact, 1 John 3 is even really stronger than that, even a little bit earlier. If you read a little bit earlier in verse 10 there, it talks about that if you don't love your brother, you're a child of the devil. Oh, hang on a minute. It's a bit strong, isn't it? Well, that's written to Christians, that particular. Talk about brothers and sisters. You don't love them, you're a child of the devil, the scripture says. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. It says, don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. What makes somebody to become a murderer? So I said, the guy that we spoke about, he didn't wake up one morning. There was something that happened in his heart for him to get to that place where he ended up doing something so horrifically unimaginable that something happened in his heart. And something can happen in your own heart if you're not careful and open the door. Now, the door is shut. The blood of Jesus Christ shut that door. There's a bloodline there. But you can go. And if you hold on to things and do things, you can actually open a door and give an invitation. Again, I'll talk about that in just a moment. How does someone end up with a murderous heart? Well, I just want to quickly go over the chain that happens. We're just going to quickly run through this. It all starts off in the area of somebody being angry. Hands up if you've ever been angry. I've been angry. I'm mad at you now. Not putting your hand up. We've all been mad. We've all been angry. And we'll talk about in our anger not sinning. But you can get angry and that's okay. It's how you deal with your anger. That's the point. Getting angry is not a sin. It's a normal human emotion. It's how you outwork it. It's how you deal with it. How you handle it. Well, that's the important factor. But it starts off with anger. If you've got anger that you leave in anger, you're angry against someone, and you don't actually deal with that anger. And you may be justified in being angry. They may have done something to you that was just cruel, unnecessary, hurtful, or indifferent, or whatever it was, and it's really hurt you, it's upset you, and you're not being a little baby, you're not being trivial, that made you angry. And maybe you got every reason and every right to be angry. But that's the point. In a moment, we'll read the scripture, but we've got to deal with that anger. Because if you hold on to anger and you don't release that, you don't deal with it in a godly way, the next thing that anger begins to give birth to, gives life to, is the area of resentment. So you started with anger. And now so I was angry. Now I'm feeling resentful now. There's a resentment in my heart. You begin to resent somebody because you're angry maybe what happened to you. Maybe angry at them, but you're really more angry at what happened. But once resentment comes in, that's a lot more personal now. You're resenting them for what they have done to me. You're resenting them for what they did to you. That's when resentment really begins to come in. When you start to be resentful towards someone, it's very hard then for that person to please you. If you're resenting someone, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't seem to cut it anymore. They might even try to make it up to you. But if you're resentful, it just doesn't mean anything to you. It's very hard to please someone. If you're resentful, you've become a very ungrateful person. If you're resentful because you've been angry, but you've harbored that now, it's resentment, you'd be someone that is very ungrateful, very hard to please, and you'll be ungrateful. That's the second thing. You started with anger, you allow it to become resentment. It becomes a little bit more targeted, a little bit more personal. Angry at what happened, angry the way I felt, humiliated, I was embarrassed, I was hurt. But now I'm hanging on to that. Now it's becoming resentment. It's now against you. It's personal now for what you've done. And it's now hard because I'm just ungrateful now, and I can become just it doesn't matter what you do now, it makes it really hard. So you go from there. The next step is where you come into bitterness. Bitterness is such a sick, evil thing. Hebrews 12 warns us that once you get to bitterness, it is something that begins to multiply. It's a root that will grow up and begins to defile many. And you'll find that the relationship that you had that was soured because of anger and resentment for whatever, once bitterness begins to come in, it starts to affect other relationships. You start snapping at the kids. The kid's done nothing. You start playing drop kicks with the dog. The poor dog did nothing. It starts to be in other relationships. You lash out against people. You're crabby at work. You know, you go there and you're just obnoxious to other people. And what is wrong with him? He got out the wrong side of the bed. It starts to affect other people. It starts to affect your other relationships once there's bitterness begins to get in our heart. And someone who's bitter is a very cynical person. You'll know whether you let bitterness in because you become very cynical. You can become cynical about relationships, even the relationship that's become fractured. You can become cynical about that. Well, you know, there's no hope now. It's it. Very cynical. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what happens. I can become very, very cynical. And someone who is bitter is someone who looks for the bad. Scripture tells us to look for the good. But once you get bitter, you start looking for the bad in everything. You look for the bad in the person that hurt you. You look for the bad in anyone. Oh, what a hypocrite they are. Your eyes suddenly change. A bitter person becomes very critical, very judgmental, and out of their own bitterness processes everything that they see and everything that they experience gets processed through their bitterness. And immediately everything they look at is tainted. Everything is flawed. Everything is perfect. Everyone's a bunch of hypocrites. Everyone's just putting on a game. Well, they're not real. And a bitter person, it's a sad thing when someone becomes bitter, because it's a sad thing because bitterness will affect every relationship in your life. If you've allowed that, it's gone from anger to resentment, but now it's in the place of bitterness, then that's going to start affecting every relationship that you have in your life. And maybe you don't even know that. Maybe you don't realize that, but it has an effect, and it's a poison that you are pulsating out into every relation, every connection, every person that's connected to you. Begin to poison them with your bitterness. It pumps this thing. It's a wicked thing, bitterness. But bitterness is not the end. What a shame that we didn't shut the door here, but we had anger, we have resentment, we have bitterness, and now we come to the point of hatred. Now you might think and say, well, I don't hate anybody. I really don't hate anybody. But you'll know that you hate someone if you begin to feel that you would be better off without them, then hatred has come in. Once you get to the point of saying, I'll be far better off without you. If you weren't around, if I was on my own, if I didn't have you here, if you weren't around, then that is hatred beginning to come in. You despise the very existence of the person. You don't even want to be around them anymore. Can't bear to be around with them. The thought to be with them, but hatred begins to come in there. That's a horrible thing. Someone that gets in hatred and gets gripped in the grip of hatred. It's a horrible, horrible thing. You think, I'm better off without this relationship. I'm better off without them. Maybe better off without any relationship. Some people maybe begin to feel once hatred begins to come in there. And once hatred begins to get there, the heart behind that is actually a murderous spirit. And the tragedy that we read about, well, the murderous spirit had come in because there was a hatred from a resentment, a bitterness from a resentment, from an anger. And the chain that starts there in anger and it ends up in murder. And you think, oh, well, I'm never going to be like that. You don't have to actually kill someone with your hands or with a knife or a gun or a rock or whatever. You can have such a murderous heart towards them and unlock some spiritual things in your own life. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning, about not opening this door. Because people who are unaware of the devil's schemes allow relationships to become fractured and to stay fractured. And when you do that, now, it's normal in human beings. We're all going to tread on each other's toes at one stage or another. Of course we are. You're going to rub me up the wrong way. I'm going to do that to you sometime, and I'm sorry if I do. But it's going to happen because none of us are perfect. We're just people. And the scripture says about love covering a multitude of sins. You've got a loving heart, then you're forgiving and you're gracious. But you may be genuinely hurt, genuinely offended, genuinely wronged. But how do you deal with that? Well, the scripture tells us if your brother's offended you in some way, you got to go up to your brother and you say, brother, look, when you did that really hurt me. And then the response should be, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, and there's a restoration. So if you've hurt someone, Matthew 18, you need to, Matthew 5, sorry, you need to go to them, you need to sort it out. Matthew 18, if you've hurt someone else, you need to go and you need to make it right. So either way, whether you hurt someone, you have to deal with it, or if they hurt you, you have to deal with it. You cannot let it linger. Don't let it linger. Ephesians 4, 26, 27, and 30 to 32, it says this, in your anger, do not sin. So you can get angry without opening the door. But you can be angry and you're going to open the door by not dealing with it right. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't leave those issues unresolved. And I'm not talking about every little trivial thing. Oh, you left the lid off the toothpaste again. I mean, just stupid nonsense that people go on with. I'm not talking about it, because if you're a loving, gracious person, love covers a multitude of sins. The toilet seat was up. Well, love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, well, you think it's funny, but some people will come out shooting toothpaste and toilet seats in an argument. So deal with it in the right way in that stage. Deal with it. Bring it lovingly towards it. Because remember, your heart is always to preserve relationship. A Christian's aim is relationship. If you're a Christian, you're a relationship person. Because that's the nature and the heart of God. He is the love God of love. He's the relationship man. And if you're a Christian, you're the relationship person. You're all for relationships. Maintaining them, guarding them, doing whatever, making every effort to preserve the unity of the peace through the bonds of love. You're doing that because that's what Christians do. And if it's Christian people, then if we get angry, okay, we deal with it. Okay, if our brother sins against us, Matthew 18, we deal with it. Matthew 5, we take it. If they've offended, we know we've offended them, or they've got a problem with us, and we've got to sort it out anyway. No escaping, no excuses. Well, we just deal with it if there's a problem. It says, don't let the sun go down with your anger, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. But as soon as you hold on to that anger, then you're actually there at the door, and you're saying, come on in. And you've put an open invitation to demonic activity to come and attack you in your switch walk and into the relationships that you have. That's a scary thing, isn't it? Now, the devil has no power over us, but you're going to open the door and say, come on in. And people will do that. And then they wonder, once that door is open, why all hell breaks loose. You open the door, they can't, you can't get in that door. There's no handle there. This door here, Jesus has a handle for you to open and let in. The devil's got no handles. It's only if you're going to let him in. And he will come in like a flood. And people do that. They allow demonic activity to come and attack them and assault them. Because the devil is against relationships. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't allow him to get in there and start to attack you with demonic activity in your heart, where you have anger that's irrational and uncontrolled. You find all sorts of things that happen. So there's an anger there. You find this angry person that we saw in Cain. You see someone who was downcast and depressed all the time and struggling emotionally all the time, always oppressed. Don't know why, what's going on, or hell's breaking loose. Don't let the devil in. Because why? We're not unaware of the devil's schemes, are we? So we're not going to let that door. Unfortunately, people will open the door. And also it says, so don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a license to kill. Because he comes to kill and destroy. You open the door by harboring onto anger, resentment, and then into bitterness and those things. You open the door there and you've given him a license. He has no right unless you give him the right. You gave him a license to kill, and then you wonder why you're dying. I'll tell you how to deal with it in a moment if you've opened the door. But just don't open the door. And it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You think that would be enough in itself, wouldn't you? That we would not want to grieve the Holy Spirit that is within us, our eternal deposit of God, which is guaranteeing our inheritance, the seal of our redemption within our lives. You think not grieving the Holy Spirit would be enough, wouldn't it? Don't you think that we don't want to cause the Holy Spirit grief? Why would the Holy Spirit grieve when our relationships are broken, when we don't deal with things, when we hold on to anger and resentment? Why would the Holy Spirit grieve? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And that's the nature of God. It breaks God's heart. You think you're hurting? Man, you're not hurting. You compare how much you're hurting to how much the Holy Spirit hurts when you have fractured relationships with your families, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to see pain and grief That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. That's what's what causes him incredible grief and pain. Breaks God's heart. You might say, oh, this is breaking my heart, and it may be, but it's breaking God's heart 100 times more. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't cause him grief. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, saying bad things, talking about people. It says, get rid of that bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, evil, looking at things in evil ways, malicious, looking for evil in things and to be evil. It says, get rid of that. Get rid of it. Don't break God's heart and don't give the devil a field day in your life. Don't do it. Don't open the door. It says, but instead be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. But people do that, and it breaks my heart when I see people warring against one another. Brothers and sisters, believers, husbands and wives, parents and children, children and parents, or whatever relationship it is. Because I just see that the door's open. They're getting swept away in all this heartache, despair and havoc and destruction. And they go, what's going on? God, why me? Look at them. They're really good. Why am I the one struggling in this situation? Well, I tell you, you opened the door. And the scripture tells us, sinners crouching, just don't open the door. Learn to be forgiving, be kind and compassionate, just as Christ forgave you. And so we can't allow those things in there, because it opens the doorway to demonic activity in our life. I'm not saying he's going to possess you or take you over, but he's going to assault you and attack you, bring you down. That's what he's there. So don't let him. Don't open the door. Well, that's all very well, and that's great. Thank you very much. But what if you're sitting here today and you think, well, maybe I was unaware of the devil's schemes. Maybe I was just too stupid and just too selfish and too overwhelmed with my own self and forgetting who I was and forgetting who God was. And maybe I was really hurt and it was a real hurt. But maybe I didn't deal with that in a godly way or a proper way. I didn't take it to God and I just kept a hold of it. And I've gone and I've opened that door now. Well, here I am. I'm standing here in a mess. Well, thank you very much. But the door's already open. Well, what am I supposed to do? I just want to say something, that there are three things that you need to do to shut this door. Three things: release, repent, and then resist. Just remember that the devil, the demonic activity, demons will only sit on sin. If there's sin, and that's habitual sin, or it's sin that's unresolved, it's areas there, that is not only the invitation, but it is also the permission for demonic activity to attach yourself in that particular area of your life, whatever that area may be. But certainly in the area of relationships. And so the first thing you've got to do is to take the devil's ground from under him. You belong to God. Your family belongs to God. Everything is under him. But it's when you open the door, he can't get through the door. No way. The blood of Jesus Christ stops it. But if you open it, he's ready. He's crouching. He'll come in. And here he is. He's causing the destruction. The first thing you need to do is to take away his right to be there in your family, in your marriage, in your relationship with your child, with your parents, with your, whoever it is, your brothers, your sisters, whoever it is. Take away the right. And the first thing we need to do is to release that. Deal with the sin first of all, because that's his right to be there. Deal with sin. What is sin? Unforgiveness is sin. So you're harboring, if you've been angry, if you've got resentment, sin. Bitterness, sin. Hatred, sin. Murder, sin. Because we all look at murder and say, how could that man do that? What a horrible man. What a sin. But we forget, hang on, I got hatred, just as much sin. I got bitterness, just as much sin. I got resentment, just as much sin. Anger that has not been dealt with in a godly way, hasn't been resolved and has been let to the sun, has set, it's festered and I haven't dealt with it, sin. The scripture says in James 4:17, it says, he who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it's sin. And so we've got to deal with sin. How do I deal with the sin? Because I've let the devil into this and it's destroying me, it's hurting me, it's affecting me, and maybe affecting every other relationship. The first thing we need to do is forgive. It said in that scripture, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Just as Christ forgave you. And that's why the scripture says it's impossible for someone to say that they love their brother and love God, but they hate their brother. You can't. You can't hate your brother and love God. The scripture tells us that. Okay, you can't. You can't do that. Don't pretend you're a godly person if you're holding on to unforgiveness, if you're harboring that. Deal with it. Shut the door. Bring unforgiveness to God. Whatever the relationship is, bring it to God and deal with it. It says, forgive just as Christ forgave you. You've got to release that person. You're not just really releasing them when you forgive someone. You're releasing yourself. You're releasing yourself. People hold on to things because they think somehow me being resentful towards you, that I'm actually hurting you because I'm resentful towards you. You might not even know. You might be up in the Bahamas lying on the beach, totally unaware that I'm dying inside and I can't sleep at night and it just frustrates me and it comes out in the wrong way and it lashes out here and there. They might not even know. But to deal with it, you've got to deal with your own sin. Maybe they hurt you, but deal with your own sin. Your sin is the lack of unforgiveness. And you've got to deal with that. Deal with the sin. It says, forgive as Christ forgave you. You've got to do that. That's the first thing. It doesn't shut the door entirely, but it's the first thing. You take the ground underneath. You need to release them. Forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. But before I even forgive them, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my arrogance, Lord. Forgive me for my stupidity. Lord, that here I am, forgiven of Christ who gave everything for me. You know, the scripture says about the one, the one who gave, he owed his master some money, owed some debts, and the guy says, look, I can't pay. And the guy says, no worries, it's fine. I'll cancelling all of your debts. And someone else owes him 20 cents, and he sees him and says, where's my 20? He owed this guy $1 million. Owes him 20 cents compared to $1 million. And he says, he gets the 20-cent guy who owes him 20 cents, throws the guy in prison. And the guy who forgave him the $1 million debt turns around and says, what are you doing? You wicked twit. Doesn't say that exactly, something like that. I've forgiven you $1 million worth of debt. You can't even forgive this guy 20 cents. And so we've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. We say, Lord, first of all, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Because it's your sin that's let the devil in, not their sin. Your sin. That's what let the devil in. So, Lord, forgive me for my sin, Lord, for holding on to this. Lord, I release myself, Lord, from this bondage of unforgiveness. Lord, I release that in my own heart. And, Father, I forgive them and I release them to you. I release them. That's the first thing you've got to do, is release. The second thing we've got to do is to repent. The scripture says, 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. And so you repent. And repent is more than just, gee, God, I'm sorry. It's saying, God, oh, how could have I ever done that? What was I thinking? Where was I? It's saying, Lord, oh, Lord, how can I do that? I'm not going to do that. How can I be there flinging the door open with flashing invitations and handing out invitations? Come on in. How could I have done that? Ugh. Repentance is, I'm going to keep that door shut, Lord, and I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be a gracious, loving, compassionate, forgiving person. Father, forgive me, and I'm going to turn around from that door. I'm not going to muck around with that door. Lord, I'm just going to make sure this door's open and I'm having close relationship, close fellowship with you all of the time. And I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop looking at that door. Lord, I'm only going to be looking at you, Lord, and having the same heart that you have for me is the same heart that I'm going to have for others. It's a journey. It's a learning, but it's something we must do. But if you've let the door open, forgive, repent, and finally resist. Once you've taken away the right of the enemy to be attacking you and your family, having a field day, causing destruction, well, once you've taken away that right, you've taken away the right. Remember, demons sit on sin. They come through the entry point of our sin. We deal with our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ who died upon the cross for us. We disarm the enemy. We take away his strength in our lives by bringing it to Christ and allowing his blood to wash over it and to cleanse it. Once we've done that, we now stand again now in a position of authority. You're no longer this little plaything, this little puppet that let the devil in and attacking you on all sides and you're just hell's breaking loose. You can turn around now and you say, hey, whoa, hang on, guys, party's over. I'm a child of the living God. I stand washed and forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I stand in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you, just get out. Just get out of here. You get out of my family. You get out of my life. You get out of my circumstances. You have no authority here. You have no authority. And you slam the door. Give them a little kick on the way out. Slam the door. And they're not coming back in. And then you suddenly find that you begin to relating with Jesus. You're relating with him and he's coming through your life and you're growing in him and that's what's affecting your relationships and that's what turns people's heart to Christ. Because you can say 10,000 words of witness and they look at you and say, man, what is going on in your life? You're everything but what you're saying. But they say, hang on, there's something real about that. And that's the thing that is very attractive to people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They see something very genuine and something real in that. And we want to see people. So we need to resist. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him and he will flee. Take away his right because your sin has allowed him in there. Well, don't give him a foothold. Shut the door. Resist the devil and he must flee. Doesn't have a choice. He can't go, hang on a minute. You started the party. You opened the door. Forget it. Jesus Christ has come, he's cleansed me, you have no authority, the sin is dealt with, resist him and he must flee. He can't argue, he can't. You just shut the door and then don't open the door. And that's what I really want us to understand today. Well, we do live in a life and death struggle. Ultimately, the prize is the souls of men and women, people that we know, that we're in relationship with, whether they're our families, our children, our friends, whoever they are. We want to see them in relationship with God. And God actually ordained you and appointed you so that you may even be the one that would bring them to the Lord. Don't pray for someone else. Oh, Lord, send somebody. Send Billy Graham on a holiday to come and sit next to them, Lord. And you do it. He put you there. But if your relationships are all fractured and whatever, then you're actually working against that very thing in your own life yourself. So we want to see people come into relationship with God. Don't open the door. Be forgiving, be gracious, loving people. Don't let him in. And if you've let him in, then just shut the door. And maybe there's some people here this morning. I pray that everyone is going to be alert, as the scripture says. It says, be self-controlled and alert. We read in 1 Peter 5:8 earlier, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So I pray that you're all going to be alert now. Guard your relationships because that's what he's after. Brings down your relationship, he's got you. Guard your relationships. Guard your relationships. Guard your relationships. Be alert in that area in our relationships. Don't open the door. If you've opened the door, then maybe you need to shut it today. Don't go home and think about it. Oh, maybe I should shut the door. And don't go home and saying, you open the door. No, you open the door. The devil will be there going, yeah. He'll be doing cartwheels and saying, yeah, keep on coming. Yeah, it was her fault. No, it was his fault. No, no, you opened the door. You opened the door. You personally opened the door and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I opened the door. Maybe there's some people here this morning that you need to do that. I'm not going to get you to come out the front this morning, but I want you, as we pray, you say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Lord, for opening that door in my own life. Father, forgive me for doing that. That's my prayer, that you will pray that today. And then you will release that person. You may need to go to them and say, sorry. They may have upset you, but you've sinned now because you've held on to it. And you may need to go restore. Maybe that's another R word in there, to restore. You need to get forgiven for your own sin. You need to forgive them and then begin to repent and say, Lord, I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm sick of it. Sick of this. Sick of running around in circles, beating our heads against each other. Lord, I'm not going to play that silly game, Lord. I'm going to keep the door shut now. And I'm going to repent, Lord, and I'm going to go your way. And I'm going to resist the devil who tries. Who do you think you are? In the name of Jesus Christ, you just get out. You just cannot come through. The blood of Jesus Christ, the bloodline, is the door that's shut. He can't come through there. And to say, Lord, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to open that door ever again. And maybe there's some people here this morning that need to do that. 1 John 5:18, just as we close this morning, it says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Born of God, you will deal with it. You must deal with it. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. So we're not in fear of the devil. He can't hurt us unless we go open the door and allow activity to come into our lives. So I want to pray with us this morning. It's very important. So let's stand. I want to pray for us. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning, because maybe many people should come. But you know your own heart before God this morning. And God knows your heart. And maybe that you've opened that door and just really struggled so much in so many things and in so many ways. And so, Father, we just come before the living God now. We come before the living God. We become before our eternal Savior, our Lord and Jesus Christ, who by His very blood has purchased our salvation. And Father, we now stand before You, Lord. And Father, we ask You to forgive us. Lord, where we've held on to things, Lord. Whether we've been wronged or we've been offended, Lord, unjustly treated. But Father, when we've held on to that, Lord, and that has become sin in our lives, Lord, whether it's become a resentment, Lord, or a bitterness, even a hatred, even a murderous spirit that we've unlocked in that. Father, we ask Your forgiveness right now. Lord, for every relationship, Lord, that we've have either fractured or allowed to remain fractured, Father. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us our sin, the sin of allowing something that caused such grief to the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each one that is here. Forgive us, Lord, if we're in that situation today. Lord, we ask forgiveness right now before the eternal and living God. And Father, I just thank You, Lord, that Your Scripture says that You are faithful and just to forgive us. And Lord, we make a determination now, Lord, with a repentant heart, Lord, that we're not going to open this door. We're not going to play that game anymore. We're not going to be the devil's mouthpiece or his spokesperson, Lord. We're not going to speak death. But Lord, we're going to turn away from that, Lord. Lord, we're going to be compassionate, Lord. We're going to be kind, Lord. We're going to allow Your Spirit to flow through our lives, Lord. And so we turn away from that mentality, from that mindset that says that's okay, that's normal in the circumstances. Lord, we reject that. Lord, we repent of that, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we determine we're going to be actual Christians. Lord, we're going to be the same heart as God, who is the God of relationships, the God of love. And Lord, we're going to live in that, Father. Lord, whether it's in our families, in our marriages, with our children, our parents, with our extended families, Lord, with our family of brothers and sisters, Lord, that we say, Lord, that we're going to live in such a way. We now stand in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority wherever the devil has tried to come in and try to bring havoc in the families of people in the lives of this church. And we just say now in the name of Jesus Christ, the sin is dealt with, that You have no authority here. You have no place in any family, in any marriage, in any family, in any home in the name of Jesus Christ, that Your very ground has been stripped of You. And we resist You in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke You in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And we tell You to be gone from any family in the name of Jesus Christ, that You will not attack them or have any sway in the name of Jesus Christ. We resist You in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are in a circumstance of where it's been so much destruction and relationship, you right now, you need to raise up in your own spirit and you need to resist the devil, for you have full authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and you get rid of him in that situation. Do it now. Tell him to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell him he has no authority. Resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. We resist the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Resist the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And he flees in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray now for the heart of the loving Father. Lord, for the love of God, Lord, to flow over every person here right now in Jesus' name. Lord, where there's been hurt, Lord, we speak healing now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak the healing balm of the love of God right now in every heart that has been hurt, Lord, or struggling. Lord, let the love of God flow now and touch every hurting heart. I pray that and I speak that. Prophesy, I declare that in Jesus' name, that the love of God on every hurting heart right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the love of God in Jesus' name. I speak life in Jesus' name. I speak life over every marriage, over every family, over every relationship in the name of Jesus Christ, even amongst the church family, life in every relationship in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak the life of Jesus. We speak the life of Jesus. And Father, I just thank You, Lord, that You're a God who loves us so much. Lord, that we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. Father, that we're ones that are related to you, Lord, that we keep the door to our Lord Jesus Christ open, that relationship open all of the time. Father, let it be every day in every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray if there's anyone that's here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who hasn't given their life to you, Lord, Father, I pray that they will come this day and say, I need Jesus in my life. And Father, that they will find you, Father. I pray that in Jesus' name. Let's go out worshiping the Lord and praising Him, our mighty God. Amen.